Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
That was a good hearty good morning. Nice to see you all. I was away down in the south of Ireland from Monday, Tuesday, and I came home Wednesday evening. You've heard of the great big ploughing match that takes place there once a year. And there's a lot of people there, an awful lot of people there. On Tuesday, the day it all opened, we were down on Monday to set up the stall that we have, the marquee. On Tuesday, there came to the show 4 times the number of people that live in Enniskillen. Now you think of all the houses there are in Enniskillen. 4 times that. Indeed, probably even more than that. There was 114,000 people visited the show. Not all of them came to our marquee. Otherwise we'd have been in real trouble, wouldn't we? Because we were offering free tea and coffee and buns to anyone who would come in. And believe me, because Tuesday was a lovely, lovely warm day, it wasn't too long into the day until people were more than glad to be able to come in and sit down, even if they hadn't got a cup of tea or coffee. But they were even more glad when there was tea and coffee and buns. A lot of young people come in, and they were just like you, in that the first place they went to was the tins of buns that were on the tables and grabbing buns. But they sat down, and many of them were ready to talk about the things of God. Because boys and girls, I'd say nearly all of them, knew less of the Bible than you do in the front row. And I presume even less than you do as we go back. They had never been taught the Bible. So it was a great opportunity. And actually, 3 men, as a result of talking, the Reverend Crane, who's in charge here in Kilkeary, was the man to whom they were talking. He was on the Bible table, so he had an opportunity to talk to a lot of people. 3 men could see him. The first one was 78 years old. 78. And he is now a babe, a baby in Christ. But I do believe he really got saved. You know, he came in, and I didn't intend to say this, but I'm saying it now. Above the Bible table, there was a text. Jesus saith, ye must be born again. And he came in, was looking around, and he looked at this text, and he said, how can I be born again? How can I be born again? I want to be born again. It turns out he was a man who has been thinking about such matters for quite some time. And so he was, as it were, ripe. You remember the apples on my trees up there in the garden? You would have seen them. Well, they reached the stage when they were ripe, and you only had to take hold of them and just twist them a little bit, and they fell off. They were ready for plucking. And that's the way it was with that man. Then there was a young fellow of 19, and he too had been wrestling with this matter of salvation. And then there was a man who, maybe 55, 60, who as a little boy remembers me coming to Corrigarry for the mission. He didn't go, of course, he's only a boy, a little boy. But he remembers the fuss there was and talk there was, and here he is now coming to seek the Saviour. And it was wonderful to hear them afterwards tell very plainly of how God had saved them there in the tent. So that was a wonderful time for me, and I just thought I would share that. Now let's turn to Romans, the chapter 15. We have started a new series of studies here on a Friday morning, and we have called that study Bright and Shining Lights in the Bible. And we take that title from what the Saviour said about John the Baptist. He said that John the Baptist was a bright and shining light. That's a wonderful compliment paid by the Saviour to John. But John wasn't the only bright and shining light that you will discover should you read your Bible. You will find many more. And their life left behind a shining witness. And it's still shining today. When you open your Bible and turn the pages, the light of truth shines out of it. And I've been wanting, before we get into actual individuals like John the Baptist, I have been wanting to show you why it is we should study the Word of God. Why it is we should open its pages and read what is written there, because then we will see the light that shines there. It's a bit like when you go into the room in the evening time into your own bedroom. It's dark, but you just have to reach up, flip the switch, and instantly the room is lit up. Well, it's like that in the Bible. There are stories, there are records, there are accounts of people, men, women, boys, girls, and they provide us with light. And it is as we read their stories, think about what God has recorded, that we see the light of heaven shine. Now, I have been wanting to show you and press upon you why you should study the Bible and become acquainted with what is recorded there. We're doing this as a start to our study of the bright and the shining lights. And we have been looking as a help and a guide at Romans 15 and the verse 4, where we are told, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." Look at that word, whatsoever. That means that every word of God is given by inspiration, and it's there to provide you with teaching, to bring you to an understanding of things that you would never understand if you didn't have a Bible. And back to the ploughing match. I was talking to two young ladies, I'm guessing at their age, maybe 19, maybe 20, maybe 21, very young, and you know more of the Bible than they did. Whenever I would speak of any portion of the Bible, any incident in the Bible, any person in the Bible, even the Lord Jesus himself, it was clear from their response that they didn't know anything. Now they'd heard the name of the Lord Jesus. They'd heard the name of his mother, Mary. They'd heard of John the Baptist. They'd heard of Paul and Peter. But utterly ignorant of what the Bible said about them. They had notions that they had been taught about the Lord and the others I have named. But those notions were very far from the truth of God. And I tell you, it's when we read the Bible that we come to understand what God wants you to know about the people whose lives are recorded in the Bible, and chiefly what God wants you to know about himself. Whatsoever things. There's nothing in the Bible's going to teach you wrong. Oh, I want to strive and press home upon you, boys and girls. There's nothing in the Bible that will lead you astray. Nothing. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written by God for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now we're told here what it is that we get from reading the Bible. We've already discussed with you to some degree that we learn when we read the Bible. What is it to learn? I saw someone with a book that says times tables on it. Now what was in that book? There was a setting out of the various multiplication tables. And if you learned those off, you had really learned something. Very, very important. Very, very important. The world goes along, is carried along on the multiplication tables. When you go into a shop, you really can't spend your money unless you know something about the multiplication tables. When you see a price on an article, you've got to know what those figures mean. And the one behind the counter, when you give them money, they have to be able to calculate how much it is they have to give you back in change. And we're forever using multiplication tables. That's what it is to learn. We learn our spellings. Oh, what an awful world it is when people can't spell. They write something down and on a note, say, or in a letter, and they hand it to someone, and they look at it, what's that? What is that word? What does it mean? I can't make it out. If you can't spell, you can't convey, you can't pass on what your thoughts are. You can't write down what you're thinking so that other people reading it can understand what you're thinking. What an awful world it would be. So when we learn our tables, we really learn something. When we learn spelling, we have learned something. We now have knowledge. And God tells us that when we come to the Bible and begin to read it, we learn. We learn, boys and girls. And it's important for me to remember that when I'm speaking to you. It's important for Sunday school teachers and children's meeting workers to remember that when they are instructing, it may seem that, oh, there's nobody listening and there's nothing happening, but you are imparting, learning. And into the minds of those you're speaking to, there has come a little more knowledge. That's what God's Word's all about. When we read the Bible, then we learn. Well, we were looking at the first thing that we learn when we come to the Bible is the way to heaven. The way to heaven. That's the most vital of all things. All those people that we had a chance to talk to, including those two girls I mentioned, all of those people didn't know the way to heaven. When you asked them what they thought was the way to heaven, they told you all sorts of ways that weren't the way to heaven. That if that's the path they were following, it wouldn't take them to heaven. Ireland, indeed all of the countries of the world, but we're thinking of this island, is filled with people who are on a road that they think will take them to heaven, when in actual fact it's taking them to hell. That's the duty of the Christian, to try and get that matter rectified. Put people on the right road. So, the first thing we will learn when we come to the Bible is the way to heaven. Then, we discover that as we read the Bible, it's like switching on a light, a torch, on a dark night, and you can shine it on the path you're walking on, and you can walk safely. You don't trip over, you don't step into a hole, you don't walk off the path into the ditch. You're able to walk safely. And when you read the Bible, you walk in the light. You walk in the light. Listen to these verses. In fact, you older ones, not only listen, but look it up. Psalm 119, and I'm sure most of you, if not all of you indeed, would have heard this verse. Many of you here know this verse. Psalm 119, and the verse 105. One of the great verses of the Bible. 105 of Psalm 119. It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." Thy word. Now we live in towns and villages, and we even live in a home, if it's in the middle of the country, that's surrounded by light. When I step out of my back door, a light goes on. The shines all over the yard. So I'm in the light as soon as I go out. The light is switched on by a sensor switch. But that's a modern thing. When my dad or my grandfather or your grandfather went out of the house, when they were young, there was no such thing. Most likely there wasn't even a light they could switch on at all. They had to carry a lamp or a torch. Otherwise they'd be walking in the dark, stumbling over things and falling over things. Many's and many's the time I heard it. My dad or my mum would have gone out, and they weren't out 2 seconds until there was this awful clattering noise and rattling and banging. And then you would hear, "Who left that bucket there?" Somebody had left it right in the middle of the path that you would take out of the door. But because there was no light, they didn't see it. They didn't see it. Oh, boys and girls, there's so much we don't see and over which we will stumble and fall if we haven't the light of God's Word. It's a light for a path. Listen to what we read in the New Testament. This time it's 2 Peter. Here's Peter talking, 2 Peter, and this is the chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, the second epistle of Peter chapter 1. And he says this in verse 19. Verse 19, 2 Peter chapter 1. "We have also," we have, "a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your heart." What's he meaning? Well, very simply, he means this. We have. "A more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place." That's what he's talking about, the Bible. It's a sure word of prophecy. Nothing uncertain about it. Nothing untrue within it. And it shines as a light in a dark place. I can't help but think back to the hours we spent in that marquee, listening to folk and observing folk, and they were going around the table and taking up leaflets and booklets and the Bible itself, and they were looking at it and they were so puzzled because they were in the dark. And the only way they could ever get light was from God's Word. The only way they could ever understand about God, that they could understand about eternity, that they could get ready for death, the only way was to heed the light that shone from the Bible. So, as we read our Bibles, there shines out of it a light that shows us the path we should walk in. Oh, boys and girls, don't set aside your Bible. Don't reject what's written there. Don't be, as it were, tempted to switch off the torch of the Bible and just stumble along in the dark. That's what the world wants you to do. But don't you do it. Don't you do it. It'll tell us what to do in a time of crisis, when everybody else is confused and lost. The Bible will teach you what to do. Look at Luke's Gospel, the chapter 24. It's the last chapter of Luke's Gospel. The last chapter of Luke's Gospel. And let me just tell you what's happening here. You remember, we often speak, you've often heard of those two on the road to Emmaus, village just outside Jerusalem. The Saviour has been crucified. There was beginning to come to the ears of those who had loved the Saviour reports that he was risen from the dead. And this only added to their confusion. The fact that he had been crucified brought them consternation. And now they heard he was risen and they were at a loss. And the Saviour drew alongside these two, joined them on their walk to Emmaus. And we read in the verse 17, and he said unto them, what manner, or what form, what fashion, what manner of communication or conversation are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? The two disciples, these two disciples are in misery because of what has happened, the death of the Saviour. Now reports of his being alive again, and they were just in misery. What's it all about? Didn't know a thing. Confused. The Saviour says, what's wrong? Why are you sad? It's nice to know the Lord Jesus notices when we're sad, and he'll speak to you if you're ready to listen. So they begin to tell them what happened. It says in verse 18, and the one of them whose name was Cleopas, so we have the name of one, answering, said unto him, are you a stranger here? Have you not heard what's going on? And they begin to tell about how they'd hoped that the Lord Jesus, who was crucified, was the great Messiah. But now it seemed highly unlikely. And in the verse that I want you to notice, particularly the verse 45, we see the Lord Jesus applying the medicine to the mind and to the heart, not only of his disciples at this time, but it's the medicine for us all. When we're confused, when we find ourselves in the midst of a crisis and we're not sure what's happening, there's a cure. Listen to what we read in verse 45. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. He opened their understanding. He taught them out of the Bible. You see, when the world's in confusion, when nations don't know what's happening, when leaders are at a loss to know what direction they should point the people in, we don't have to be in confusion. We can open the Bible and light will shine and show us the way in the midst of the confusion. Back to the tents again, down in the ploughing match. When we were there, there was a lot of people said, what's this Brexit thing going to do? What's going to happen? They were at a loss. Then that's not surprising, because not only are they at a loss, but the whole leadership are at a loss. The British Prime Minister doesn't know what to do. The ERA, or Irish Republic, Prime Minister doesn't know what to do. Our leaders up here don't know what to do. But the Bible tells us. I haven't time today to deal with that particular issue, but if I had time, I could show you that this whole Brexit thing is but part of God working out his plan. And I only know that because I opened my Bible and I saw in it the light of God. Boys and girls, we should read our Bibles. We should read the history that is there. We should read the accounts that are there of the lives of men and women and boys and girls. Learn that this blessed book will give us all the help we need in life's pilgrimage. Well, I've run out of time again. We'll leave the matter there, and we'll come back once more and consider a little further why it is we should read our Bibles and learn from those whose lives are a bright and shining light. The Lord bless you. Let's bow in prayer. Our God and Father, I pray that something, the truth of God, will lodge in all of our hearts today as a result of our looking at the Scripture. O Word of God incarnate, O light from on high, enlighten our mind and shine on our paths, and may we have grace given us to walk in the light. Answer prayer. Bless the school today. Be with each pupil here, each teacher. Be with the staff, wherever they are. Remember those who need a strengthening, healing touch. And we pray for the little baby that is today 1 day old and starting life's journey. Lord Jesus, we would ask in thy name that when she's school age, you will have preserved this school for her to come and begin to learn. Answer prayer and glorify your name for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.